welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone's having an absolutely magnificent day today. A lot of stuff going on, as always, and something that I wanted to just cover real quick, and again, I brought it up yesterday, and I wanted to reiterate it, and thank you a lot of you guys who have been calling, a lot of our good customers, our guys and gals, everybody that's been calling up. If you need to place an order, you guys have been very direct, very quick on the phone, and I really, really, really do appreciate that. So thank you for helping us out with that. It's really lowering our wait time on our phone calls. It's not putting as much pressure on our phone reps, especially Steve, and we're able to get more people off the phone and help out more people without having, you know, people want to sit on the phone for 30 minutes. So again, thank you for helping us out with that. And again, I'm going to reiterate this after we talked about it yesterday. Please understand that just because we're in the middle of a national emergency doesn't mean people do not need to manage their finances and their credit cards appropriately. I'm not saying this to pick on anybody whatsoever. I'm not calling anybody out. I know a lot of our listeners are very good with that, but I've seen recently in the last month a lot of people have been, again, fear purchasing and going out and buying hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of toilet paper, hundreds of dollars worth of milk, which I don't understand that because the milk expires in like 2 weeks. And we've been having a lot of people sending product back and sending all kinds of stuff back because they've maxed out their credit cards. I'll be real frank with you. They've maxed out their credit cards and now they can't cover their payment. And now they want to just send us all this stuff back because they decide it's more important to pay for their toilet paper or pay for their milk than it is to pay for their vitamins. Whatever your priorities are, they're your priorities. I'm not going to lecture you on them, but please do us a favor, and that's why I went and we've changed the website, we've updated that. We have a no refund policy on our immune system supplements now. Not because we haven't stood behind them for over 30 plus years, but we can't physically handle people not being able to manage their finances. So again, thank you for understanding that and helping us get through this time together. And as I have talked about it for weeks on end now, all the way since January when China started basically quarantining their money, the new coronavirus stimulus bill that has now reached Congress creates a U.S. digital dollar, the creation of what they're calling a digital dollar and the establishment of a digital dollar wallet. They are going on to say now the speakers Pelosi take responsibility for workers and family act. You know, I'm just going to go off something right now. The names that they come up with these bills drive me up the wall. They're calling this bill Take Responsibility for Workers and Family Act, and then they drop in there that the financial protections and assistance will now be brought in by the Federal Reserve. Oh, again, imagine that. The Federal Reserve is going to be the big savior of the country again, and they're going to set up a dollar value consisting of a digital ledger entry that will be recorded as liabilities in the accounts of the Federal Reserve Bank. Additionally, a digital dollar wallet will be identified as the account and maintained by the Federal Reserve Bank. That represents holding an electronic device or service and is used to store digital dollars and may be tied to a digital and physical identity. Oh, boys and girls, here we go. And they're now saying that if you want to get their stimulus bill, you have to set up a digital wallet and collect it as digital currency. Why? Because, guys, it's for your protection. Oh, and by the way, they want to make sure, just as a heads up, they want to know what you spend this money on so they can monitor it. Dad and I talked about this in detail when the blockchain technology and the Bitcoin was going absolutely nuts a couple of years ago. And we talked about how the CIA were some of the main guys and instrumentally building that blockchain technology through some of their agents. And then they come out and say, oh yeah, this isn't safe, you can't do this blockchain technology, it's not good. Bam, dropped it to the floor. The guys that invented it made billions of dollars on the back end. They said it was never going to be accepted. They were never going to do it. And now imagine that. Under a national emergency, we have a bill being introduced that will now make the Federal Reserve ahead of the blockchain technology, a digital wallet and digital currency that you can only get your $2,000 or $3,000 stimulus package by setting up a digital currency. And the problem is, guys, most people are going to be so desperate for this money right now because their finances are going to be so rough with losing their jobs or being laid off and everything that's going on right now. They're going to have absolutely no choice but to tie in to this digital currency so they can continue to buy food and stay moderately solvent. If they, I say this, Dad, these bankers could not have played their card any better. I called it weeks ago and I said, you watch and see if they don't pop up with a digital currency and start saying that you can't use money for this and that and this and that. Remember, guys, once they get this into place, this is just the warm-up session. Once this goes into place, they'll start saying restaurants, gas stations, public supermarkets, food stores, they're only going to be allowed to accept your digital currency because the cash is going to be too dirty and they don't want the virus spreading person to person via cash. Imagine that, a cashless society dropped in right in front of our face, and everybody, for the most part, is going to have to willingly accept it in order to keep eating food. Man, sounds eerily, eerily strange, like Revelations, Dad, doesn't it?
You know, pretty soon we'll be getting the Mark of the Beast. We'll be having a digital tattoo. Probably won't be able to see it. It'll be invisible ink, and you'll basically be able to scan your hand or scan your forehead, and they'll barcode you. They'll shoot a barcode at your forehead, and they'll say, hey, what's your number? Okay, scan you. And that's what they're planning on doing. And right now, you know, it's starting to get weird. People laying off work right now here in Central Florida already. I just got this text in from a friend of mine, and she has basically a cousin. His name's Kevin, and he went to Lake Wales Walmart on Friday. He bought a buggy full of supplies. He paid for them, and while he turned around from paying the cashier, his buggy was gone. He asked several people if they knew where it was, and the manager quickly walked over and pointed to a woman pushing his cart out the door. He ran after her, and she ran away, and he got his cart back. But, you know, it's starting. It's already starting with people basically not having the money to pay for food or goods or services or anything else. And, guys, here's the thing. It's really important that we all just think through what's happening right now. You got to set your priorities aside. You got to start. You got to look at them. And let me give you an example. Years ago, I had a lady. Her name was Martha. I'm not going to mention her last name, and it's been so many years ago, I can use her first name. And she was having cash flow issues. And I finally told her. I said, "Look, I said, you know, break down what you have as far as what you're spending money on right now, and let me look at it." And she was a former employee, and I said, let me look at it and see what we can do as far as helping you with cash flow. Well, we looked at it. She's spending over $300 a month on cable TV and internet, $300 a month. And I said to her, I said, well, why are you doing this? I said, get an antenna. And I said, you know, just, you know, put a little antenna on top of your TV set. You'll get 30 or 40 channels. And I said, this is back in the 90s. And I said, you know, I guess it really Wi-Fi wasn't, the internet really wasn't prevalent. You're spending $300 a month on cable TV, not included. There was no Wi-Fi back then. She had like all the premium channels, everything. And I said to her, you need to cut back on these expenses. You need to get this. Oh, I can't stop watching TV. I've got to have that. And I'm like, whatever. And I couldn't help her. Same thing happened to me years later. I had a guy, a friend of mine, won't mention his name. Let's call him Joseph. That's not his right name. I'll call him Joseph. He had a big job. He's making about $450,000 a year. Excuse me. And then that last market crash hit back in 2007, 2008. And he basically lost his job. Now he's making $450,000 a year. And he had spent every penny he was making on toys. On toys, on motorcycles, on dirt bikes, on 4x4s, and Austin knows who I'm talking about. He knows the guy's last name, not Joseph. And when finally Joseph came to me and he goes, I need you to loan me some money. I said, well, how much do you need? He goes, well, my monthly nut I've got to crack is $8,000. I said, $8,000 after taxes? He goes, yeah. I said, dude, that's like, you know, $15,000 a month you got to make. He goes, yeah, I know, but so I've got to have this to pay my basics. And I said, well, let's look at your numbers. Let's look at your budget. He was spending, I think, $400 a month on internet and on cable TV. $400 a month. He was spending over $1,000, $2,000 a month on health insurance for the family. He all these things. In fact, we whittled it all down, whittled it all down, whittled it all down. I said, you could do this for $2,500 a month. You got to cut all this other stuff out. And he was like, I can't do that. And I'm like, yeah, you can. You don't have much of a choice at this point. I said, all the kids are like, you know, grown. It's just you and your wife. And I said, you know, you don't need to have all this stuff. And he goes, well, no, I can't get back on that. And I said, $8,000 a month, bud. I said, that's a big nut. You have to net out. You have to gross $15,000 a month in order to net out $8,000. And I said, I don't see how you're going to do this. And he goes, well, can you help me? I said, no, I'm not going to help you. I said, if you're not willing to cut this thing back down to $2,500 to $3,000 a month, I said, what's the point? I said, I don't have that kind of money. I can't be subsidizing that. I don't mind helping you for 1 month for a couple thousand dollars if it absolutely had to be that way. And I said, but I'm not going to do it every month. Who's going to pay it next month? I said, you've got to cut your lifestyle back, you know? And the craziest part about it was he had made so much money. He had made millions of dollars. He could have paid his house off. He only, you know, he could have paid. But now, well, I will give him credit that all his cars were paid off, because I talked to him about that before. But the thing about it is we've got to prioritize this stuff. Now, one thing I would say I would not cut out are supplements. And you say, well, why? Well, because that is what ensures your health. Well, you know, in case you haven't noticed, we got a virus running around. It's pretty deadly. And so you've got to make sure your priorities stay up there. I mean, you don't need 400 cases of toilet paper, period. And, you know, and Walmart and almost all these other companies now are basically making these things non-refundable because they don't want to have people hoarding them. And what frustrates me, too, with supplements is people will take them for a month, use them, and they get full benefit from them, and they send the empty bottles back and they want to refund all of them. I mean, it blows my mind. And guys, I know you're not doing this. And here's what happened last month, 2 months ago. We basically we added a whole bunch of new customers because people heard me on Hagman or heard me on other talk shows, and these people basically, a lot of them simply, you know, aren't saved, and you know, and to be quite frank with you guys, and they're used to just returning stuff at whim, and you know, and to me there's a moral clause you got to step into really on this. I mean, you got to think through. I mean, we're a family owned operation here. We don't have the ability to absorb a lot of supplements back that we can't resell because we don't want to send them back out. So what we have to do is either give them away or use them ourselves. And so please, we're asking you not to do that. All right. Just deal with what you have. That's why we've put limits on stuff. And now we've issued the no refund policy on these supplements, which we've never done that, by the way, in 39 years in business. I've never done that. And it's frustrating to have to do that now because of this. But guys, we'd love you. I prayed for you again this morning. And, of course, quite frankly, I can pretty much tell you that the people that are listening to the show today, Austin, they're not the ones sending the products back anyhow.
These guys are
family. We're just making a blanket statement out here for everybody today. By the way, I wanted to pull this up real quick. This is a Rockefeller report, and it's scenarios for the future of technology and international development from the Rockefeller Foundation. It was also put together through the Global Business Network with the Rockefeller Foundation. And it's an interesting report. It's written by an academician. And, you know, these academicians, these are people that basically, they base their whole life upon studying and being in college and having degrees and having certain credentials. And that's what this report is. It's extremely boring. I read through it. It's like 54 pages long. I have it posted on our website. You guys can look at it anytime you want. So finally, I'm choking through this thing and talking about different types of scenarios that could develop and co-evolve. And they use all this jargon that you get that's ridiculous as far as what they teach you how to do and how to write in academia. And so you have everything's all, you know, it's all done in the proper AP format and all that kind of stuff, which is what they all do. But it doesn't matter. You guys don't care about that. But page 18, this thing gets really, really interesting. It starts talking about lockstep, a world of tighter, top-down government control and more authoritarian leadership with limited innovation and growing citizen pushback. And it's a scenario they're talking about what could happen in the future. Now, this was written in 2010. So here's the scenario they lay out. In 2012, the pandemic that the world had been anticipating for years finally hit. Unlike 2009's H1N1, this new influenza strain originating from wild geese was extremely virulent and deadly. Even the most pandemic prepared nations were quickly overwhelmed when the virus streaked around the world, infecting nearly 20% of the global population and killing 8 million in just 7 months. The majority of them basically healthy and young adults. The pandemic also had a deadly effect on economics. Economies, international mobility of both people and goods screeched to a halt. debilitating industries like tourism and breaking the global supply chains. They're talking about what just happened, guys. Even locally, normally bustling shops and office buildings sat empty for months, devoid of employees and customers. The pandemic blanketed the planet, though disproportionate numbers died in Africa, Asia, Central America, where the virus spread like wildfire in the absence of official containment protocols. But even in developed countries, containment was a challenge. The United States' initial policy of strongly discouraging citizens from flying proved deadly in its leniency, accelerating the spread of the virus not just within the U.S. but across borders. However, a few countries did far better, China in particular. The Chinese government's quick imposition of enforcement of mandatory quarantine for all citizens, as well as its instant and near hermetic sealing off of its borders, saved millions of lives, stopping the spread of the virus far earlier than in other countries and enabled a swifter pandemic recovery. Now, guys, they're laying out exactly what they just did, except they didn't get from geese, the guy. They said it came from bats. They were talking about they were wearing bulletproof vests that supported a patch of their national flag. Strong technology regulations stifled innovation. Read through this. These guys had this whole thing planned out in advance, and they're working off of a template. And the thing that's aggravating to me, Austin, is that when I look at this and I see what's happened and I see what these guys have done, it still frustrates me to no end that the people in this country want to believe that Donald Trump is in charge. I mean, it's absolutely staggering to me that this is actually something that people still are believing and they're not changing. Now, this Fauci guy, they're having – guys, this is all theater. The Fauci guy is being extremely disrespectful to Donald Trump, basically talking about it behind his back, saying he won't listen. You got to tell stuff to him 4 and 5 times to make him listen. And it's all part of the plan. It's what they're doing. It's intentional. It's a script. It's a script that Donald Trump is reading. And the same thing now. He's saying he's not sure what he wants to do as far as destroying the economy or getting rid of the virus. And he may get rid of the quarantine at the end of another week. But here's the thing, guys. Also, Epic Times came out with an article that said 21 million fewer cell phone users in China may suggest a high CCP virus death toll. Now, the number of Chinese cell phone users dropped by 21 million in the past 3 months. Beijing authorities announced on September 19th deaths to the virus may have contributed to the high number of closings. Now, remember, cell phones have to be paid for in China just like they're paid for here. So a lot of people lost their jobs at these massive factories, and they may have turned off their telephones. So we don't know what the real number is as far as how many people died and got rid of their cell phones or how many people just turned them off because they don't want to have to deal with the cost of them. So it's interesting to me when this kind of stuff happens, when they put this stuff out and they make these claims about 21 million people may have died because of this. I don't know how many people died in China. All I know is they have 1.5 billion people, and if 10% of their population died, you know, that'd be 150 million, and they could still operate very, very well with the other 1.35 billion. And so it's crazy to me to watch this stuff being twisted and this narrative being twisted, like you saw, Austin, about now they're bringing the digital currency. So now once they get their digital currency in, they can get that thing passed. Now the Rothschilds may go ahead and back off the media as far as pushing for all of this, you know, crazy stuff they're doing as far as all of this social distancing and all the other things they're doing and all these restaurants being closed and all of these sports teams being shut down. Because remember, the United States years ago decided that sports was more important than spending time with families. I'm just telling you guys straight up. You know, because when you basically become a supporter of FSU football, or you become a supporter of the Dallas Cowboys, or basketball, or hockey, what you do, it's a very tribal instinct. I'm part of this tribe. I'm a Seminole. I'm part of this tribe. You know, I'm an Atlanta Brave. It becomes very, very, how should I say, empowering to an individual that has to sit at a desk 8 hours a day and have somebody boss them around when suddenly when they get out, they get to go to a ball game and they get to root for their tribe. Okay? This is what they've done with sports. That's why you have entire cable networks that are basically designed for sports, because what it does, it makes the people feel as though they're still a human being with their tribal instinct, and it yet it controls them. So when they shut all of this stuff down with all of the sports, it created tremendous problem for people who are all wrapped up in the NBA or in basketball or football or whatever. And so now they're using that dissonance that was created to make the people accept anything, including digital currencies. It's really interesting to watch this stuff unfold, Austin, because when you realize that Trump's not in charge and he's reading a script, everything makes a whole lot more sense. What do you think, bud?
Well, that was really well said. The past few weeks, the context of the government basically bringing everything to a standstill, sports stopping, you know, hockey, baseball, football, everything stopping. People told to shelter in place with their families. One thing that I've noticed about this, and Lana brought this up to me the other day, she said she's noticed on social media, like, everybody's doing family activities. Nobody's going anywhere. Nobody's going to sports arenas. Nobody's going to concerts. Nobody's going to bars. Nobody's going to restaurants. Everybody's staying at home. So now, for the first time in a very long time, you have families now that nobody's working, nobody's in school, nobody's going out, and they're actually getting to connect again as a family. I talked to one of my buddies. He went out on the Chain of Lakes with his family in a pontoon boat. Chain of Lakes is basically a lake chain in Winter Haven. There's like 16 or 17 lakes, and they basically go in a chain. There's all these different canals and stuff that go to them. Really cool. If you've ever done it, it's really cool to Winter Haven. It ties all the way into the old Cypress Gardens, which is now Legoland. And he said he went out there this weekend, and he said it was the most packed he had seen the Chain of Lakes in years. He said everybody was out there. Like, every house on the lake was throwing a ski party. Everybody had their boats in out there. The sandbar was completely packed on the one far side of it. And he said it was wild. He said he felt like it was just like something surreal, because normally, you know, it gets busy on the weekends, but it was like absolutely packed. And I kind of thought about it, and I went, yeah, you know why? People aren't going to watch their stupid fixed NFL. They're not going to their baseball, hockey, all their nonsense games. They're not going to bars. They're not going to restaurants. They're not going to clubs. They're not going out. Everybody's saying, hey, we're in Florida. We live like in the highest lake population in the entire country. Let's go on the lake. Let's go on the boat. Let's go skiing. Let's go tubing. Let's go have a ski party. Let's have fun with everybody. And everybody's just enjoying one another again. This is a double-edged sword for the globalists. I think that's exactly right. And I've said this repeatedly. They know what happened with this virus. They know the truth, whether or not it was completely engineered, whether it was modified, whether it was accidentally released, whether it was truthfully, intentionally released. Whatever it came from, they know what it is. And so this whole lockdown is going to have a double-edged sword context to it, because people are actually starting to connect. And also, too, and I've had a lot of people wake up, a lot of people I know. They're so wrapped up in work. They're so wrapped up in their busy, busy, busy schedule and knowing who did what in the NFL and the tight end caught this and who did this with that and this. And they're always so wrapped up in all these stupid little things all the time. And I'm not saying all things are dumb, but a lot of these sports are just, they're just distractions. That now they're actually reading. I've seen people articles now that most people never even bat an eye. They're going, man, this is crazy. You're right. All the stuff you've been saying for years, you're right. And, you know, a lot of times people thought I was nuts years ago. I told them, dude, we're going to go to digital currency. Be like, no, it's never going to happen. They're never going to force us to do it. Guys, they're about to tell you if you're broke and you need a $2,000, $3,000 stimulus package because you can't work and you're trying to cover your bills and your food, the only way to get your money is to set up basically a Bitcoin wallet. It's basically what it is. I mean, let's put it what it is. It's a pre-built Bitcoin wallet and a Bitcoin digital currency that they're going to give you so you can go spend it. And like I said before, watch out. Next, they're going to start restricting the usage of cash at all the main places, and you're not going to be able to do anything unless you set up your essentially Bitcoin digital currency. And back to what you were talking about with the cell phone stabs, this is another thing too that may be going on in China. Remember, Israel, I think it was 5-6 days ago now, I brought it up briefly last week, but I'll expand on it a little bit more. Israel last week came in and they approved emergency measures to track suspected or confirmed coronavirus carriers monitoring their mobile phones. The cabinet unanimously approved the use of technology. It was initially for counterterrorism purposes, of course it was. But now they're using it for anybody that's suspected or confirmed a coronavirus. So what they do is, if you are suspected or you have coronavirus, they flip on your GPS on your phone. Well, it's normally on all the time, but they actually put you into the database system, and they monitor you. And if you break quarantine and you go out of your house, your cell phone immediately starts buzzing. Breaking quarantine, go back in your house now. And you're like, ah! You run back in your house. You're in your house, you have people come over. cell phones get within a certain vicinity of one another, all of them start going off at the same time. You basically are in the vicinity of a known coronavirus case carrier or suspected carrier. You need to back up and stay within 30 feet of that individual right now. Whoa, okay, we're backing up. Remember, they already did this in China. They already did this in the beginning of February. You can look it up. They started monitoring everybody that was suspected or confirmed carrying coronavirus, and they monitored them on their cell phones. Think about this now. You have all these Chinese people, no cell phone usage. Could a lot of them be dead? Absolutely. China lied to us about a whole bunch of stuff with this virus. But also, too, you could have a whole lot of people in China that are saying, this is ridiculous. I'm throwing it in the microwave and leaving it in there. And I don't mean cooking it in the microwave. If you guys remember the movie Snowden, and you look at the research behind it, that movie was very clear in a lot of stuff they brought up. And some of it was a little, you know, they tried to twist it a little bit, but some of the stuff was very accurate on the story of that man with what he released. And remember, when they went to the hotel room with him, this is they documented this. As soon as they come to the hotel room with him, he made everybody put their phones in the microwave. Didn't turn them on, wasn't plugged in, didn't cook them or do anything stupid like that, but he put them in the microwave. Because the microwaves are fully insulated to protect from microwave radiation from getting in
Faraday
or out.
Cage.
Okay? It's a Faraday. It's a little mini Faraday cage that's really, really efficient. So when you throw your cell phone in there, it doesn't even matter if it's on. There is no signal. There's no GPS, no phone signal, no nothing. They can't listen to it. They can't monitor it. They can't track it. Now, of course, if you put it in there and you don't move, then they think you're at the house. So if you're in your house and they're monitoring your cell phone because you're suspected of having coronavirus and you throw it in the microwave, where's it going to show you're at? In your house all the time. They're not going to bother you. Imagine that. Chinese may have figured something out again with their technology. Just saying, just bringing this stuff up right now because Israel just did it. Israel, remember, pretty much dictates the United States what to do. They basically do. I mean, let's be real quick. If they say the United States, you jump, the United States says, how high? They say, you go attack this country, the United States says, yes, master. Whatever country you want us to attack, master. When do you want us to stop, master? That's what they do all the time. If you don't believe me, do your own research on what Israel does and how, almost 20, 30% of Congress is dual Israeli citizens. I don't even know how that's legal, but apparently they figured out how to make it legal. And now we have Israel saying they're going to monitor everybody that's suspected or confirmed coronavirus. How long do you think it's going to be before the United States implements emergency powers to start doing that here in the United States? You already know they track everything. That's why I tell you guys all the time, make sure you turn all your permissions off. Not that it can stop them completely from doing it, but if you're at least not giving them your permission to listen to your microphone, watch where you go, look at your contacts, read your text messages. They do it most time anyways, let's be real. And if you really, really got to go off of it, like I said, unplug your microwave, throw it in there, and do whatever you need to do. But I'm telling you right now, there is a storm coming to the United States, and they are not going to be just done with this digital currency. The digital currency has to fully be implemented before they come off this coronavirus scare, hype, monitoring, lockdown, everything. Now, I'm not saying this virus isn't bad, but they are making sure, again, in the middle of an emergency, they do every single thing they've been waiting to do and get it into place. And how easy to do so when you have America shut down, out of cash, hungry, scared, sitting in their house basically waiting for the government to protect them. I know my listeners aren't in that position from a lot of those. I know I'm not in that position as far as sitting at home being scared about what's going on. I mean, we're actively working. I mean, we're making sure we're even working with the community. We're also a grocery store, guys. So, I mean, we're trying to do the best we can to get stuff moving and get stuff rolling and keep everybody healthy as much as possible. And that's why Dad and I have literally been working day and night with multiple manufacturers to keep vitamin C in stock as long as we physically can so we can keep it at least Central Florida, and anybody else we ship to nationally with a really high immune system so they can fight this stuff off. Because David Icke did a video yesterday. Dad sent it to me. A lot of stuff, Dad and I, you know, we don't agree with everything David Icke says, but he did an exceptionally very, very accurate YouTube article yesterday. And he said, listen, he goes, it's ironic. Everybody's saying, oh, the government's here to protect us. The government's afraid everybody's going to get sick. The government's telling us to shelter in place because it's for your safety. The government wants to keep everybody healthy. He goes, that's ironic, because when you start looking at the amount of garbage that's in food that the FDA approves that knowingly causes health problems, the PFOAs that DuPont put out and now twisted them again and remanufactured them under a different name that still goes out in our food supply, the aspartame, the glyphosate and atrazine and all these other pesticides and herbicides that get sprayed on our food that we eat on a daily basis that we've been known in court settings have ruled multiple times in favor now that glyphosate is directly linked to cancer. Doesn't matter. Still on the market. They don't do anything about it. Hundreds of thousands of people probably die every year directly related to some type of disease from glyphosate and all these different compounds. Not to mention what we've seen with all the vaccines, how many people have died, have been injured from that. Oh, let's not forget all the deaths from doctors and pharmaceutical drugs. But all of a sudden, we're supposed to believe that the government, just out of the kindness of their own heart, suddenly cares for the American populace and wants to protect them and wants to keep them safe. Guys, the medical industrial complex is what runs off death and sickness. Healthy people don't keep the medical industrial complex going. Sick people do. Cancer is an industry. It's not a disease anymore. We've already figured out ways how to fix cancer. I'm not talking to me personally. I'm talking in the entire medical community. They know that chemotherapy and radiation is one of the most old school, detrimental, worst possible ways to attack cancer now because it's nonspecific. It wrecks your immune system and cancer. In most cases, it ends up killing you before the cancer does. It doesn't matter. Don't talk about that. We got folks on the virus. The virus, guys, we got to protect everybody from the virus. Understand what's going on now and understand just about everything you hear now from the government and from mainstream media, not all of it, but just about everything you hear has either been manipulated, distorted, twisted, or flat out you're being lied to about something. And the more you do your research and the more you open your eyes, you'll find out real quick that's exactly what's going on right now, Dad.
Really well said, Austin. I mean, you know, the thing with David Icke is I agree with you. I agree with probably 90% of what David Icke says. He's not a Christian. But, you know, the only thing he's ever been exposed to is the Church of England, which is completely corrupt. And so he doesn't understand what Christianity is and how being led by the Holy Spirit is so important and who Jesus Christ is and how he's the Son of God and how he died for us and to have what the blood does. He doesn't understand any of that. Now, I've never had a chance to sit down and talk to David Icke. I've tried to talk to him about all of that. But in the meantime, I agree with 90% of what he says. First time I listened to him, I thought, well, probably 50%. Then it was 60%. Then it was 70%. Then it was 80%. Then it was 90%. I just ignore the stuff about Christianity. And he's really stayed away from that. In fact, what's interesting, his last book called The Trigger, which I have not read yet, but I did buy, that talks about 9/11 being the event that triggered this whole global onslaught of corporations and governments being controlled through the Federal Reserve. And he goes into detail in the book about the Rothschild banking cartel, Israel, the Sabbatane Zevi, the Kabbalists, and the rebuilding of the Third Temple. How about that? So he does talk about stuff that most Christians won't even touch. In fact, I have one Christian pastor that I thought was pretty cool and had written some books, and then I finally started realizing that he is basically compromised, and he won't discuss the Rothschild implication of what's going on any longer in the current vernacular. He won't do it. Just won't discuss it. And, you know, and then I talked to him a couple of years ago about why he wasn't doing that anymore. And he said he was speaking over in England, and a member of the Rothschild family, I kid you not, met with him in his hotel room. And I thought, whoa, I wonder what they said in that meeting, because he sure stopped talking about him after that. Thought that was a bit odd. By the way, FDA medical advisor says Congress is owned by pharma. Not hard to understand, is it? Pharmaceutical companies are under the spotlight with congressional hearings on the cost of drug prices and allegations of the industry's role in the opioid crisis. Now, remember, not one person has come on TV now, including Donald Trump. Now, a few medical people have that are health-oriented and talk about building the immune system. This Dr. Rayford Brown, a pediatric anesthesia specialist in the UK Kentucky's Children's Hospital and chair of the Food and Drug Administration's Committee on Analgesics and Anesthetics, has been openly critical of Big Pharma and the lack of proper oversight from the FDA. Despite many politicians, particularly declared presidential candidates, beginning to speak out against Big Pharma, Brown does not think that anything will come out of it because Congress is owned by pharma. the pharmaceutical industry pours millions of dollars into the legislative branch every year. In 2016, they put $100 million into elections. Here's some of the numbers of members of Congress who've gotten money. We have Greg Walden out of Oregon, $460,000. Kevin McCarthy got $380,000. He's Republican out of California. It's Republicans and Democrats. It grows across both. Brett Guthrie, $230,000, Republican out of Kentucky. Paul Ryan, Republican out of Wisconsin, $222,000. And this list just goes on and on and on to the tune of $100 million in 2016. Now, this is a problem, guys, because we've got a situation here where, you know, we don't really know what to do with this because these people have been bought and paid for. I had a former Heisman Trophy winner contact me this morning. I'm not going to mention any names. And I sent him that David Icke video last night. And he goes, we got to tell our representatives about this. We have to make people understand what's going on. And I told him, I said, dude, I said, the reason this is happening is because they're being blackmailed and they're not going to tell us about it because that's how they get reelected. He goes, really? This is awful. And so I sent him that link I just sent. That, by the way, I also posted that link. By the way, Muammar Gaddafi, right, the guy they decided to kill in Libya because he wasn't going to put a Rothschild Central Reserve Bank in there, he said they will create a virus and then they will pretend about the virus and they will sell the antidotes for the virus. This is what he said, guys. They will create a virus, spread the virus, then they will sell an antidote for the virus. And again, Rothschild controlled Israel. And remember, Rothschild is the group. It's just a name that I use for the globalists, a name that I use for the 17 Kabbalists. It's a name for this group of people who took down Building 7. You can call them whatever you want to call them. Probably the most effective thing to say as far as most descriptive thing is you'd say that they were Luciferian Kabbalists who practice from the Kabbalah. That's the most important. That's probably the best way to clarify who they really are. And, you know, and so we know that Israel's now saying they've already developed a vaccine for the coronavirus. Well, that's going to be worth hundreds of billions of dollars. Now, let's go ahead and jump off the topic for just a second, and let's talk about 5G, because Austin was talking about that earlier with the digital currency, and there's some things I want to share with you. When we had 4G technology, which is what most people have, 4G technology is basically you have an iPhone or an Android, and it basically is independent from the Wi-Fi. In other words, it has to connect to the Wi-Fi in order to allow you to be connected. So it's like Austin said, if you want to disconnect from the Wi-Fi, you could turn the phone off and put it in an unplugged microwave into a Faraday cage, and it receives no signal. You can also wrap it in aluminum foil. It does the same thing. A couple layers of aluminum, that's it. Nothing's going through the signal. They won't know where the phone is. They can't track it that way. When you go into Wi-Fi 5G, you don't have that separation anymore. You no longer have the ability to step out of the grid. You know, so in other words, when you walk into a restaurant, okay, after you've ordered your food, and a camera picks you up and it says, you know, Ted, welcome, here's your food, all right? This is what happens now. You start having digital screens on the tables and it's talking to you. That's what the real 5G world is. In fact, it will probably know when you walk in, the screen will say to you, hi, Ted, do you want to have your hamburger today, or do you want to have your wild organic salmon, or do you want to have whatever today? And my response to the machine would be, yeah, of course, go ahead. And of course, that means I didn't talk to my telephone. I've now become integrated into this 5G world. This is a platform. The platform is the network. So this is mobile computing paired with the pipe of the internet. 5G is computing and networking combined on the same platform. In other words, you can't get out of it. So you don't longer even need a cell phone. You can walk outside your door and you can say, Uber. You don't need a phone. Just say, call Uber. The camera that's watching you sees you say Uber, and the microphone picks you up, and then Uber shows up. That's what 5G is. You no longer are separated from the network. Okay? In the Uber, there's a camera on the car that sees you. It knows who you are. It doesn't even have to ask your name. They have to get your credit card information. It already knows what you want. In the 4G world, which we're coming out of now, the cell phone is a platform. It's yours. If you don't want to be built into it, you don't want to be part of that data. You don't have to be part of it. But in the 5G world, you cannot opt out. In the 5G world, not only can you not opt out, because it's built in around the city. It's not in your phone anymore. You're part of it. You are an IP address. Okay, you've been tracked. That you've had a digital tracker put into you via chemtrails through nanodust. Okay, not only can you not opt out, but you don't even know who owns the data. Everything that you do and say is watched and monitored. Now, by 2022, there's going to be two people for every camera in China. They've already have a billion cameras in China with artificial intelligence for facial recognition. So all of this is getting built right now in China. And it's one of the reasons that people say that a lot of people got sick in Wuhan, because it was one of the first rollouts of this 5G technology. In a 4G network, there are like 10,000 devices per square mile. In a 5G network, because of all the IP addresses, listen to this, there are 3 million devices per square mile. The connectivity explodes. In other words, everything's connected to everything. Everything has an IP address. The doggone buildings have IP addresses. You have an IP address. Your pets have IP address. Everybody has an IP address. So that allows you to put literally everywhere that you can make your life more convenient. You can have your refrigerator, your microwave. Everything can be talking to you and directly to you, and you never have to carry a phone or a wallet or anything. You don't have to have a car key. You can do it all on your phone. You can pay anybody anywhere for anything. This is what 5G is going to be. You say, well, that sounds great. Does it really sound great? To me, it sounds like George Orwell, 1984, on like mega steroids, and that you have no privacy, no anything. Your TV set's watching. You and your wife have relations. And you're like, that's odd. So the only way you could do that, you got to put a big cover on top of the TV set. Then the microphone's still turned on. Now they're still listening to you and your wife have relations. And you're like, well, it's awful, really. I mean, why do I want to have the TV watching me have relations with my wife? It doesn't make any difference. You don't have an option. Because if the TV doesn't hear you, your doggone thermostat on the wall is going to hear you. Everything's going to hear you because it's all connected. That's what 5G is. You see, guys, that's a world I don't want to live in. That's a world that we have to do everything we possibly can not to live in. It's a world that requires digital currency. I told you guys, and Austin told you guys years ago with the Bitcoin, it was all beta testing. They tested and tested and tested and tested until they figured the glitches, they figured the good, they figured the bad, they figured the ugly, and then when they got done using the dog on Bitcoin, they flushed them. So the only, I think, what, 97% of Bitcoin was owned by a couple of people, like the CIA. And then what they did, they basically took all the money out and crashed it, made hundreds of billions of dollars, and left all of the people who were involved with them in the Bitcoin experiment basically broke or massively losing so much of their invested capital. Guys, it's nuts. But the one world government needs a one world currency with a one world religion. And what's so deceptive about this whole thing with this coronavirus, this may not be the end game. Now listen to me. They don't really care what they do, but they get resistance and pushback. In other words, they're beta testing this right now, and they're monitoring what everybody's saying in the chat online. And everybody's going, you know, this thing's really starting to suck, and we don't like this. And, you know, we're going to buy more ammo. We're going to buy guns. The state of Florida stopped issuing gun permits because they said they had nobody to do fingerprints. Everybody's starting to say, hey, we're starting to bow up, man up, and say, hey, you know what? There's enough of us over 50 still walking around that say, peck with you guys. We're not going to do this. And so they're going, well, maybe this just isn't right. Maybe we need to tell Donald Trump, say, hey, we're going to back off this some now so we don't crash the economy, because we've already got our digital wallet in place. We've already done another massive beta test, and we're about ready to do a full rollout, but not just yet. Guys, this may be what they're doing right now. This may be another one of these giant psychops in which they release a real pathogen to kill real people in a real world just to see what would happen from a computer screen analysis. Can you believe we are being ruled and run by people who look at us as data points and algorithms on a doggone chart? They could care less about you or me or anybody else. All they care about is their money and their greed. Gosh, these guys are in the pits. Austin, I got to stop before I start saying something I shouldn't ought to say. What do you think?
Well, and there's something, too, that's uniquely odd about what's happened with this situation, because Russia still has reported like 400 cases, I think, in the entire country, and they've had one death. One death over in Russia. So this is something that's very strange here, because you see these pockets of huge amounts of people contracting this stuff. Europe, horrible in Europe, absolutely horrible. Europe's got 5G. China's absolutely horrible with this right now. Still, I believe, 5G. United States, the big pockets that we have in the United States are all around the 5G area. And I'm keep trying to do more and more and more research to figure out what the heck is going on with this whole thing, because something doesn't add up with this whole coronavirus. It doesn't add up. Something really, really, really stinks behind the curtain, and you're trying to find it out and figure out what it is. It's just really difficult because they're doing everything they can to try to prevent people from finding out what the real motive is. Because, I mean, now we see the Fed has pretty much gone on an all-out buying spree. I talked about that yesterday. They basically said quantitative easing to infinity, bailout to infinity, treasury buybacks to infinity and beyond. They're acting like doggone Buzz Lightyear. I mean, it's like the printing presses are just about to go wide open, which I guess nobody wants to talk about hyperinflation. I guess that topic's just not something anybody wants to bring up when you start talking about dumping literally trillion upon trillions of dollars back into the market to try to prop everything back up again. And so it appears they're pulling a one last Hail Mary. Because as we saw with 2008, the quantitative easing was able to band-aid and paper over the situation. It was. For the time being, it was able to prop it up, massively boosted the market. They went in and just completely shot everything through the roof, made the bubble that much bigger, and now we're seeing the bubble popped again. And so they're trying to do everything they can to control the bubble pop while all this is going on. So it's almost like they want to do one last run. One last run. This is what it appears to me. Again, this is just what I'm seeing. So add up the so follow me for a second. You have this digital currency now that's supposed to be rolled out by Pelosi. And by the way, that bill that she put out as well, you guys will find this real funny. I saw it earlier, actually, when I was going through some articles, and I just chuckled in irony because of how demented these people are. The plan that she puts together also designates another $300 million in taxpayer money to foreign refugees that are in the United States. Individuals, by the way, that don't also have Social Security numbers and basically don't pay taxes. I was reading the whole fine text on it and how it went together, and it essentially was anybody can sign up for it, and they're going to allow anybody to get into the digital wallet and basically set up an account, even if you're not legally here or if you're just a foreign national here. I kid you not. You can't even make some of this stuff up. But I digress. Going back to what I'm talking about. So we see they're locking, they're turning the locks down as far as with this invisible cage. I mean, that's pretty clear what they're doing with that now. They're going in now, they're seeing how much the American populace is going to take, how far we're willing to let them go and to take us into a full-blown lockdown, how compliant we're going to be with roadblocks and checkpoints and papers, please. And that's coming, by the way, in the next couple weeks. And now we're going to see how well the American populace takes to a full-blown digital currency. And if it rolls out halfway decent, they're going to start saying that places cannot accept cash. I promise you, we are literally a nanosecond away from Trump declaring basically another national emergency executive order and saying that nobody's able to buy anything with cash at grocery stores because they don't want it to spread in grocery stores. That's coming next, by the way, guys. And then all these things are tying in together. And, of course, we're going to have the great CDC and Bill Gates display themselves as the savior with a new vaccine that everybody's going to basically be forced to take, or they're not going to be able to travel, as we've already heard that on numerous articles now. That's being thrown around. If you don't do your due diligence and support, you know, the greater good by getting your vaccine, you don't deserve to basically be able to travel freely, unmolested on your way. Think about it. They shut down the trains if you don't have a vaccine. You can't use those. They're going to shut down the planes from you if you don't have a vaccine, so you can't use those. Oh, and that's right. They're also already going to have checkpoints instituted throughout the entire United States interstate system because, you know, again, it's for your protection, guys. And then all this is coming together. They're going to prop up the market as much as they can with as much funny money as they can to get one last run out of it. And then once the virus starts to calm down, they'll ease some of these restrictions on people. They'll let some people do a little bit more and be a little bit more open as long as you're compliant and you do what they want. And then once they're ready on the final hammer, they pull the plug on the last set of the market and they say, hey, listen, the reason why this is happening is because of cash. Cash is destroying the system. It's making it basically too volatile. We have to go to a digital currency so we can monitor, track, and control where all the money goes so we really know what everybody's spending money on, and we can monitor that much better. Guys, if you look at this, and I'm pretty accurate on most of the stuff I come up with, I really think that's where they're headed with this right now. And when you start seeing, like Dad said, with the 5G, because he's right, you put these 5G towers outside your house, you can't get away from them. Unless they disappear and the 5G towers somehow don't show up, these 5G towers are there. They don't disappear. And with all the electronics they've let everybody have, their smart TVs and smart dishwashers and smart refrigerators and all this stuff, they monitor everything you do. So now with all that stuff in place, even if you put your cell phone in the microwave, we talked about it before, the 5G network outside is pulling all that content and all that information from every single appliance. This is why they want the Alexa. This is why they want the smart houses with the smart thermostats and the smart meters. Think about it. If your phone's in the microwave, okay, and they think you're at home, okay, and they think you basically are complying with their quarantine order, but really, you're running around the neighborhood providing security team force with your neighbors to make sure your neighborhood stays locked down, and you're not doing anything inside the house. Oh, that's right. They can look and see what your power consumption is with your smart meter and go, hey, guess what, guys? He's technically in the house right now, but it's pulling zero power. Nothing's on inside the house. In fact, there hasn't been anything on inside the house in 3 or 4 days. In fact, the dishwasher hasn't ran, the refrigerator hasn't opened, the TV hasn't turned on. He's not home, but his cell phone was last reported in the house. We need to go do a wellness check and make sure that he's not doing anything he shouldn't be doing. Oh, and by the way, we know he has a gun, so we need to go ahead and get a red flag gun order. Oh, and by the way, the Department of Justice already said now that they want to be able to indefinitely detain people indefinitely in the matter of a national emergency. So they show up to your house, you're not there, you pop up randomly and find out, whoa, why are you guys in my house? Oh, you're breaking quarantine order. You're being arrested for failing to comply with the lawful order of a police officer. Oh, and you have a firearm outside. Oh, that's right. You don't have a permit for that either. Remember, we passed that bill as well. We're just going to go ahead and detain you, and we'll let you know at some point in time after you've been, you know, reformed. We'll see if you can augment back into society and be a good little slave. Dude, you can't play this much better if you were the globalist, guys, and that's why it's so important. You have your preps together. You have different contingency plans. You keep your immune system strong, because I promise you as well, people who are getting this coronavirus, they're going to be monitored. They're going to be monitored heavily. So the best thing to do is stay away from people that could be contaminated or may not be doing what they need to do, and don't catch this stuff, and keep your immune system strong, and just go on your way with what you need to do and continue to maintain a really, really strong sense of security and preparedness with your entire family, Dad.
You're 100% right, Austin. You know, the Washington Post every once in a while gets something right. I always tell you guys, even a blind squirrel can find an acorn every once in a while, and it's does this thing on this article today. It says the U.S. is funding dangerous experiments it doesn't want you to know about. And it's by Mark Lipsitz. And then it says in 2014, U.S. officials imposed a moratorium on experiments to enhance some of the world's most lethal viruses by making them transmittable via air. Now, I'm going to read that again. Just, I'm going to stop that for 1 second. In 2014, U.S. officials imposed a moratorium. It's sad that they ever had to do a moratorium on this, on experiments to enhance some of the world's most lethal viruses by making them transmittable by air, responding to widespread concerns that a lab accident could spark a global pandemic. Most infectious disease studies pose modest safety risks, but given that these proposed experiments intended to create a highly contagious flu virus that could spread among humans, the government concluded the work should not go on until it could be approved through specially created rigorous view process and consider the dangers. Now, remember, this is in the United States. The world continued to do this. Apparently, the government has decided that the research should now move ahead. In the past year, get this, the U.S. government quickly greenlighted funding for two groups of researchers, one of the United States and the other the Netherlands, to conduct transmission-enhancing experiments of the bird flu virus as they were originally proposed before the moratorium. Amazingly, despite the potential public health consequences of such work, neither the approval nor deliberations nor judgments that supported it were announced publicly. Here we go, all in secret. The government confirmed them only when a reporter learned about them through non-official channels. Whoa. So what they're telling us is they never stopped. They kept on doing this. And guess what? That Lieber guy out of Harvard who got arrested for giving all these types of secrets to that guy out of China. Yeah, how about all that? So what the heck and where the heck did this Wuhan flu virus come from? Guys, here's the thing. You think about this for a second. These guys have worked diligently to do this to the human population of the planet, to reduce the population. But God, in his infinite wisdom and ability, said, you know what, I'm going to give you an immune system that's adaptable. I'm going to give you an immune system that targets specific cells. I'm going to give you an immune system that's so strong and so powerful they can't do this to you. But then what they do then? They start giving us food and GMO foods and all these different chemicals and all these different compounds that they know destroy the immune system function. They know they put fluoride in the water, the thyroid can't work properly to help the immune system. They start doing all this stuff to you to weaken your immune system. And yet they still can't get 100% kill rate because God's human immune system is so powerful. So guys, he knew if you kept the right nutrients from eating the right foods and not eating all these chemicals, because he tells you what to eat in the Old Testament, in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy, like not eat pork. He knew that your body's immune system would stay strong enough to not get all this stuff. But then when you people like in New York, we talked about this yesterday, when they have this hedonistic lifestyle, this horrible, horrible compromised sexual lifestyle, and their immune systems are shot, it's running through New York like a set of doggone razor blades. I mean, it's running as fast as it can, infecting thousands and thousands and thousands of people dying in New York. Why is that? Because of their lifestyle, because of their perversions. Guys, if you do what God says to do, and you eat clean, and you take good supplements, your immune system will take care of anything as far as I'm concerned. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. Remember, this is the day the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and we shall be glad in it. We commit our plans in the Lord and they will succeed. I have the privilege, the honor, and the responsibility of praying for you again, guys. I love you. I appreciate you. And I'll talk to you tomorrow. Finish it up, Oz.
Yes, absolutely, guys. And thank you again for the continual support of Health Masters and get this information out there. Wake everybody up. We have said it, and I've said it again before. The more we can get this info out there, the more we can constantly keep talking about it, the more people we can wake up, the more effective we can be at stopping or delaying this whole thing and making these guys understand that we're not going to sit idly by. The problem is right now, so many people are so concerned with this whole coronavirus that they're failing to even see what's really going on behind the scenes. So I encourage everybody, forward our show. You can sign up for our free weekly newsletter. We send the show to your email every single day. Get this information out there, and please make sure you're keeping your diet clean right now. Exercise. If people are time off right now, exercise. I've been very happy to see a lot of people over the whole city of Auburndale are like walking and riding bicycles all over the place. People are like super active right now. It's really been quite exciting to see because a lot of people have a lot of stuff to do. So like, hey, get back in shape. Excellent thing to do. Keep your diet in check. Stay away from the sugar. I know a lot of times when people are stressed, they want to eat junk food. Stay away from the sugar. Compromise the immune system. Do the best you can to keep your immune system strong and keep the C and D piled on it and keep everybody in the family healthy and sanitary as much as physically possible. We appreciate you. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.